The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 4, text number 68, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on May 6th, 2008, in New Gokula, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 4, text number 68.
Šiandien mes skaitame Šrimad Bhagavatam, 9 giesmės, ketvirtas skyrius, 68.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sadavo hridayam mahiyam. Sadunam hridayam tvaham. Madanyate na jananti. Naham tebhyo managapi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but them. Purport. Since Durvasa Muni wanted to chastise Maharaj Ambarish, it is to be understood that he wanted to give pain to the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the Lord says, Sadavo hridayam mahyam. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. The Lord's feelings are like those of a father who feels pain when his child is in pain. Therefore, offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee are serious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very strongly recommended that one not commit any offense at the lotus feet of a devotee. Such offenses are compared to a mad elephant, because when a mad elephant enters a garden, it causes devastation. Therefore, one should be extremely careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish was not at all at fault. Durvasa Muni unnecessarily wanted to chastise him on flimsy grounds. Maharaj Ambarish wanted to complete the Ekadashi Parana as part of devotional service to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he drank a little water. But although Durvasa Muni was a great mystic brahmana, he did not know what is what. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a so-called learned scholar of Vedic knowledge. The devotees, being always situated in the core of the Lord's heart, surely get all instructions directly from the Lord, as confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 10.11, Tesham mevanukam paratam ahama jnana jangtamaha nashiyami atma bhavashto jnanadipena basvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with a shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The devotee does not do anything not sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is said, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyehana Bhujya. Even the most learned or experienced person cannot understand the movements of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. No one, therefore, should criticize a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava knows his own business. Whatever he does is precisely right, because he is always guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sai Agrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha.
So just see how dear the pure devotee is to Krishna. That the pure devotee dwells within Krishna's heart. And Krishna dwells within the heart of the pure devotee. This is called reciprocation of love. Actually, there is no love like that love between Krishna and his devotee. In this world, we try to find that love in various ways, with our friends, with our relatives, with our lover. We try to find that kind of perfect love. But we never do. We never find it. Because unless you can have that loving relationship with Krishna, you cannot purely give love to anyone or anything. Pure love requires complete selflessness. So unless one has made God the center of one's life, it is not possible to purely love anyone. In other words, I will still be thinking, I'm the center. This is a disease known as selfishness. I'm thinking I'm the center. You are thinking you're the center. And we fight. So this is the hellish nature of the material existence. In this world, everyone thinks he's the center. Just like that dog, you see. He thinks he's the center of the universe. And you have to do everything to please him. You see, everyone is thinking like that. So that's why it's so miserable here. Everybody's fighting to be the center, competing. To go ahead by pushing down the others. So there is no greater relief, and there is actually no other relief than to get the association of the pure devotee. Because the pure devotee knows the art of how to purely love. Not only does he know that art, he is realized in that art. He lives in that mood of pure love at every minute. So, by the mercy of the pure devotee, we can get that same mood of pure devotion. There is no greater achievement. There is nothing more valuable than to achieve this pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is very much understood. People think of it as something that's not very valuable, really. That if you're a complete failure, if you're not able to enjoy the material world, then you could try going to bhakti.
Jie galvoja, jeigu jūs nesugebat ant tiek esat nevėkšlas, nesugebat materialiai džiaugtis, tai gali tada bakti užsienį.
But if you can be materially happy, I mean, they don't really need it. I mean, why bother, you know?
Bet jeigu materialiai gali būti laimingi, tai kam varginti su bakti?
In other words, they say bhakti is for those who are a complete failure in the material world. Actually, it's true. Because everybody is a failure in the material world. Is there anybody that's actually a success here? Simply, they have the illusion of success for some time. They have some money. They have some fame. They have some power. They have a young, good-looking body, you see. And a fancy sports car. Or they can sing very beautifully and attract everyone with their voice. So they think, oh, now I can enjoy, you see. But that is simply an illusion. Because sooner or later you will be a failure here, it's guaranteed. The material nature will pull the rug out from under you. You may think you're nicely situated in this material existence, but Maya will come and she'll yank everything away, you see. She'll take away your health, she'll take away your life, and she'll take away your wealth, everything taken away. Your dear relatives that you hold as your real, as your very shelter, they'll be taken away also. Everything, your house, your bank balance, your car, your dog, everything. The time of death, everything is taken away. So do you think you can be happy as long as you're attached to something in this material world? I guarantee you, you cannot be happy. As long as you hold on to material attachments, you are setting yourself up for a big disappointment. Therefore, the intelligent person attaches himself to Krishna's pure devotee. Because that pure devotee, his association is the key that enables us to enter into the spiritual world. Do you think you can go back to Godhead on your own strength? Like Durvasa Muni through some yogic city? Or by building a big spaceship? Or by bribing your way? Bribing? You know what a bribe is? There was one Christian man, he thought he could bribe his way back to the kingdom of God. Actually, he wasn't much of a Christian. He was doing all sin. But one time he went to the church and he gave $5 or 5 euros in the collection plate. So, at the time of death, they came to take him to hell. Because he was a sinful man. So he told the agents of death, no, 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 you can't take me to hell because I gave $5 in the collection plate at church. You have to take me to the kingdom of God because I gave $5, you know. So they took him to the kingdom of God. And they left him outside the gate and they went in to have a little talk with God to see what, see if they could allow him in or not. And when the messengers came out, they had that same $5 bill in their hand. And he said, what did God say? What did he say? God said, give him his $5 back and tell him to go to hell. So, you cannot bribe your way back to the kingdom of God. There's only one thing that will qualify you to go back to the kingdom of God. That is, you have to develop love for his pure devotee. Even if you try to love Krishna directly, that will not be successful. If you say, well, I don't need a pure devotee, I don't need a guru, I'll just go directly to Krishna. Krishna will see you as an upstart. Someone who doesn't want to follow the authorized system, who think they can do it their own way. Krishna will not accept. You are upstart, no way, you cannot. You want to come to my abode, you must take shelter of my pure devotee. So, why we don't do that then? Why we won't take shelter of the pure devotee? What's our problem? Well, we have a big problem. Oh, that's the same word in Lithuanian, problem? Yes. We have very, 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 very huge problem. It is called ahankar. Everyone has this problem. Old people have it. Middle-aged people. Even children. Everyone has this problem of ahankar. It's not that somebody is, you know, that everybody is pure. We're not pure. We're contaminated by this rascal thing called ahankar, false ego. And what does that mean? That means I think that I'm the enjoyer. I think that I'm the controller. I think that I'm the center of existence. I think that everything revolves around me. In other words, it is selfishness. So if we want to actually qualify to go back to the kingdom of God, we must give up this selfishness. We must stop thinking that I'm the center of the universe. We must become humble servants of Krishna's devotee. We must become servant of the spiritual master and servant of the Vaishnavas. Because this is how Krishna accepts us. This is how Krishna recognizes us as being fit to enter his abode. So if you actually want genuine happiness, then you should consider these points very seriously. That if you actually want true happiness in life, you must take shelter of bona fide spiritual master. As long as you remain independent, you are courting with disaster. So one should take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. This is enjoined throughout the Vedic literature. The Mundaka Upanishad says, Tadviganaratam Sagaram Sagarume Va Bigatschat. One must take Guru. It is stated in the Bhagavatam Tasmad Gurum Prapadyecha Jagashu Shriya Uttamam that if you want to achieve that actual happiness, you must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation. So, therefore, since Krishna is making it very clear, this is our duty. Therefore, we should just say, okay, I surrender. I'm not going to go on trying to be independent. I'm going to take shelter of the spiritual master. I'm going to qualify myself to go back to Godhead.
kvalifikuosiu save su Krišnos Dievu.
I'm going to get out of this miserable material existence. This is real intelligence. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, the spiritual masters are there all over the world, traveling and preaching. If we take advantage of their association, then we can become qualified to go back to home, back to Godhead. So this is the secret of success. If one can actually please the bona fide spiritual master, then one becomes very, very pleasing to Krishna and qualified to go back to home, back to Godhead. So if we will take these wonderful tips given to us by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if we will take the wonderful formulas given to us by the acharyas, then we can finish up this rotten business of this material existence. We can give up suffering in this cycle of birth and death. I mean, it's really miserable here. I mean, it really is. We might sometimes think we can enjoy this world, but believe me, it's you cannot really enjoy it. Sometimes it appears that it's so nice world, but actually that's just an illusion. This is a nasty place. Very nasty. Really is. So, if we want actual happiness, then we should take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. We should take shelter of Krishna. And then we can be living in transcendental bliss at every minute. Completely unaffected by the calamities of this material existence. This state of mind is called Krishna consciousness. And we have a society for this purpose. ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We should fully dedicate ourselves to serving this mission. Just think of this point. Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON is his body. Krishna says that he lives in the heart of his pure devotee. That means that Krishna lives in the heart of ISKCON. ISKCON lives in the heart of Krishna, and Krishna lives in the heart of ISKCON. So, just by being completely dedicated, sold-out servant of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, one will have Krishna dwelling within his own heart. And one will be dwelling within the heart of Krishna. Why live in Lithuania when you can live in the heart of Krishna? Isn't that a better residence? Is it? So this is the wonderful facility being offered to us by Srila Prabhupada. That we can live in the heart of Krishna at every minute, and Krishna can live in our heart at every minute. All we have to do is read Prabhupada's books and follow what's in the books. And then we will not be in the contact of this material nature. We will be completely pure and transcendental. Just like a lotus leaf. It may be sitting in the water, but the water does not become absorbed into that leaf, you see, because it exudes a waxy substance which repels the water. So the devotee of the Lord, he manifests all this Krishna consciousness, so the material nature just rolls off him, it can't penetrate his heart. So, these are a few words of wisdom here, based on the teachings of Srila
Prabhupada.
Perhaps some of you have some questions. Yeah, like Gundanath Prabhu.
Your Grace, I have one doubt. One doubt.
Bhagavad Gita Krishna sako, kad išmintingas žmogus jis neturi reiškia nėra reiškia nu reiškia budaražyti neišmanėlių žmonių nu jaudinti protus. Kalbėdami jiems kažką tai geriau praktiškai užimti jų atsidavimą tarnystę.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that an intelligent man, he should not disturb the mind of those who are in that mode of darkness. He should engage them in some practical service.
Ir bet vakar aš mačiau, kad prabūti pamokslavimas buvo gan toks agresyvus ir aš mačiau, kad dauguma žmonių protas buvo iš tikrųjų sujaudintas, gal jis gali kažką tai.
But yesterday I have seen that your preaching to those people was very strong and that they were a little disturbed, so because they were in the mode of ignorance, some of them, and so could you explain that?
This is the risk the preacher takes sometimes, because he understands the innermost desire of the Lord. But actually, were they walked away very disturbed?
Some of them.
Really? What did they say?
Too much Krishna consciousness.
Too much Krishna consciousness?
Too much direct Krishna consciousness like that.
Some of your own members are chanting on the beads?
Yes, even some devotees who chant.
They said, this is too much Krishna consciousness. Now, they are not counted amongst the ignorant. They already know Krishna is the Supreme. So, the injunction of the Bhagavad Gita does not apply to such persons. Such persons who already know that Krishna is God and they're His eternal servant, they have to be brought to the proper standard. Just like Prabhupada had, you know, he had to sometimes disturb us to bring us to the proper standard. Not that the spiritual master's business is simply to flatter. Oh, you are so nice. Everything you're doing is wonderful. Actually, it is said that the teacher simply flatters the student and he is the worst enemy. If the parent does nothing but flatter the child, then he's the worst enemy of that child. Child and the students, they must be rectified of their faults. That is a duty. Otherwise, one is not qualified to be a teacher or a parent. So what is the doubt?
With devotees, that is all right, but there were also a few people who were not devotees.
What did they say?
I was talking to the mother who was еще не уждавиняю класки, но стари, я его вот и перски принес, а это просто. И сумку бы, и раз...
Ирфанатишь?
Йо, ир, и на саву клоуси мы снятки банди посетяйся те саву виксмус, потяйся те саву виксмус. Это дело, как и йоу титру хочу только исполнить.
For example, that Mataji, Christian Mataji, so she said after the lecture that she felt a little pressure and she wanted to like make an excuses of her bad activities, like some pressure of her sinful activities, like cow killing, eating meat.
Oh, she didn't like to hear that cow killing was bad.
Even their questions were, was she tried to like to excuse herself. She tried to say that it's nothing bad to eat.
Yes, that's right. Now we have to put pressure on these Christians, otherwise they'll never stop their nonsense.
Iš tikrųjų turime šiek tiek paspausti šitus krikščionis, kitaip jie savo šitų nesąmonių net nesustos daryti.
Prabhupada would always put pressure on them on this point.
Prabhupada ant šitam taške visą laiką spausdavo.
He would never flatter them, oh yes, your slaughterhouses are so wonderful, he would never flatter them.
Jis niekad nepatikėdavo, oh, jūsų skerdyklos labai gerai.
We have to make this point. The cows are, they, our mother, our own mother is being murdered. How we can not complain about that? We have to say something. But if we do it, if they have any good sense, they will think seriously what we have said, and they will be changed in due course. So everything was spoken actually very properly yesterday. There was nothing improperly spoken.
I accept. I don't say that you spoke not properly, but I saw some reaction people and I just asked a question.
Yes, they sometimes... I mean, look, there's... So many people were disturbed by Prabhupada also sometimes. That was also there. That is there. Some people will be disturbed. Because they're very strongly attached to their material attachments. There was reporters. Prabhupada had to sit on the floor one time. They were disturbed by Prabhupada, that he's, just by his activities, they were disturbed by Prabhupada's activities. The reporters were agitated by his activities. It disturbed their minds, the way Prabhupada acted, that he would, devotees picked him up in a Rolls Royce. That disturbed them very much. You see, the Prabhupada said that actually when the spiritual master, he is to be worshipped on the same level with God. And when God travels, he travels in a golden chariot. So this Rolls Royce, it is not sufficient. So we... Is it the demons, they sometimes become disturbed, what you can do. We have to go on with our business. The dogs will bark, but the caravan will pass. We try our best to explain to them. I gave all honor and respect to Lord Jesus. And I pointed out it is not we who are saying, it is Lord Jesus who is saying. That means she's actually disturbed by Lord Jesus. Because I am not saying that she should stop eating meat. That is her own Lord Jesus. So actually, she is disturbed with Jesus, not with me. So if she wants to be a Christian, why is she disturbed with the teachings of Jesus? I have no position. I'm simply a messenger, that's all. I have nothing of my own to say. I'm just delivering a message. So they're disturbed by the message. It's not nothing to do with me. I have brought the message of Jesus. Srila Prabhupada explains that Christ started his movement because he was very disturbed by the animal sacrifice in the temple. This is why I always say, when Christ come again, these Christians will crucify him again. Their own so-called Savior, again they'll nail him to the cross again when he comes again. So what can we say about such people? We try to be compassionate. We try to bring them to the proper understanding. But what can be done? The head man, he was very attracted, the intelligent man. He brought a book. The intelligent man, he was very impressed. He purchased literature. Our main concern is to appeal to the intelligent class of men. Because if we can appeal to the intelligent class and they can understand this philosophy. See, they are the leaders. These less intelligent people, it's very difficult to. But if you can get to change the society. But if you can attract the leading class, like that theater director, the leading class of men. If they're attracted, then everything will turn around. So do you have any more doubts?
Thank you very much. Very nice answer.
I mean, if people are so disturbed, we should just have kirtan. I shouldn't even give a lecture, you know? If the people are that low, their mentality is that low, we shouldn't even have a lecture. It's not worth it. Just have kirtan, that's it. Not worth my voice if people are, you know, they're so low class that they can't even, you know, understand the basic points of our philosophy. There's many people out there who are, you know, dabbling in Krishna consciousness a little bit, but we have to try to encourage them to become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Because they're missing the nectar. They got one foot in the material world and one foot in Krishna's boat, you see. We have to guide them and train them and inspire them how to become completely in Krishna consciousness. See, they are called Kanishta Adhikari. They are in a very weak position. They can fall down at any time, you see. It's the duty of the senior devotees who are fixed in Krishna consciousness to elevate the Kanishta to become Majjhama Adhikari, so they become fixed, strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness. That is called compassion. That is called love. It is not some holier-than-thou egotism. It is service. Trying to save someone, to help them become strong. Questions more? right then. We'll stop here.
Gantarad
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Giri Govardhana Ki Jai, Sri Radha Damodar Ki Jai.
Iskri Shivan Sankarshanda Sadhikari Prabhu Ki Jai.